Praise God. You know, as I was just kind of seeking God, since this is the first day of our first service of 2019, not the first day, and kind of what do I need to start off with to minister? And so he kind of spoke just a couple of little words, and I'd kind of just wrote them down. That's the title of my message tonight, and the title of this message is Choose Right. Choose Right. Because listen to me, what you choose today will affect your tomorrow. What you choose today will affect your tomorrow. And so our choices are very important, the choices we make. And, you know, I think we need to decide this year we're gonna pay very close attention to what we choose. Because listen, in any given situation, we get to choose which way we're gonna go with it. Any of them. I was, listening to Pastor Sam Carr on his podcast, and he was talking about on there, and he said it was talking about how he was something, some guy was doing something for him or something like that, and doing some work for him or something like that, and did some stuff wrong, and he said he got with him and really got mad and done some stuff and said some things, and nothing blatantly outrageously, but just let his temper get away from him, stuff like this. And when he drove off, he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him. God spoke to him, said, son. And he said, well, he said, I was already feeling horrible about myself when I leave. How many knows most time when we do something, get out of line thing, we start feeling guilty for it? Actually, it's not a guilt, it's conviction. And so he said, God said, son. He said, well, thank God he still called me son. And he said, you just blew any opportunity of ever ministering to that man again. Ever ministering that man again. And you know, I think that all the time, that in any situation, because I told somebody just several weeks ago that something didn't go right in a situation, and somebody asked me, what are you going to tell them about it? I said, listen, I'm gonna say something. I said, but I'm going to do it in a way, because you never know when God's going to open the door for me to minister to that man. And if I blow my cool, I can't do that. I cannot do that. And so we got to be very careful, because we are the light of the world. And we all got tempers. Anybody got a temper besides me? Y'all don't have to raise your hand or wave at nobody or point. Nobody do that. But I can get hot. Let me tell you, I'll just be honest with you as a preacher. I've got a temper. Did you know we all got a temper? I mean, that he said, be angry and sin not. That's a part. I mean, that's just a part of it. Sometimes we have to get so mad at the devil, we just put our foot down and say enough's enough. And you know, Jesus got angry. Didn't he go to the temple and drive out the money changers, those who sold doves and stuff? And he even took a whip and started whooping them, Mike. Well, Jesus, you whooped them out of the temple, beat them up, run them out of the temple. But then he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And give no place to the devil. And so what we do in our anger is either going to put, it can give place to the devil to go a little further with what he wants to do in your life. And we don't want that to happen. Amen. So let me talk about choices and to choose right. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. So they'll put it on the wall, because I like the way it read it. And to verse 11, this is something we've heard a lot, but you know, when God spoke to me about and choose right, he kind of took me there. This is the scripture he took me to, and right off the bat, this is one he popped up in my spirit. And it says this in verse 11, Deuteronomy 30, 11. It says, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away from you that you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Isn't that amazing? This is God speaking. He said, I'm giving you a choice today between life and death, or prosperity and disaster. You know, it's a no-brainer to me, I would think. to me which one I would choose. And then he goes on to say verse 16, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to and the land that you're about to enter and occupy. Well, we're already in our land and occupying. Amen. But I think the saying is still true that we have to love the Lord our God and obey him and listen to what he says. We could sit there and say, well, that's in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Listen, obeying God didn't go out with the New Testament. Am I right? Obedience to God is still true, and obedience to the Word of God is still true. And believing the Word of God and acting upon it, that's still true. It didn't quit just because we moved over into a New Testament. And so he said, we got to love the Lord. And those words said in verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Notice what it says in verse 19. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Do you know everybody's going to see the choices you make? Everybody in heaven and earth witness the choices that we make on the earth. And he goes on to say, it says that... Where'd I quit? Oh, there you go, John. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Listen to this. Oh, that you would choose life. God said, don't choose disaster. Don't choose curses. Choose life. I want you to choose life. Well, you want to think, then why did he give us two choices? Why didn't he just say, I'm going to give you life? And you didn't have a choice. Well, if you didn't have a choice, you'd be like a robot. It'd be kind of going all the way back to Genesis, back in putting the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden and then told them not to eat from it because the day in which they eat from it, they're going to die. Why did he even put that there then? He could have left that tree out and we could have still been in the Garden of Eden. Because here's why. Because just like we have choices on everything else, we have the choice whether we're going to love and serve him or not. Because if we served him because we had to, there's no love in that. We serve him because we love him for what he did, and we have a choice to do it. And you can look at people all over the world. There's people who choose not to, and there's people who choose to do it, and there's nothing we can do about that. The only person we really have a choice in whether they serve God or not is the ones that's in our clothes at this moment. And that's you. And so the thing about it is, God was so gracious, he said, I'll just give you a choice. Well, right here he said, I'm going to give you a choice. And oh, I want you so much to choose life. Because in life is God. So if you choose life, you're going to choose me. Am I right? If you choose life, you're going to choose me. And it goes on to say in verse 20, so you can make this choice by the loving... So you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So listen to me. He's telling us you can live a good long life if you'll just love God. Isn't that great? You know, I love God. You love God? I know you do. We love God. Loving God don't make us perfect. Does it? Boy, if loving God made us perfect, we'd all be perfect. Because there's a lot of people who love God that have imperfections. Amen? But thank God we're maturing and growing in those things, huh? So he said, I'm going to give you the choice, and then I'm going to tell you what I prefer you doing. Huh? Have you ever told somebody, you can do this, but I wish you'd do something else. This, what I want you to do. So... if you've chose life, you've got life. If you've chosen God, you've got life. You chose life, you've got God. Look, if you will, to Joshua 24. And that's also going to be starting at verse 11. And I'm going to read that also in the New Living Translation. I'm going to make it easy on Billy up there. Y'all like the New Living Translation? I like that. I've been reading this year in that. It says, when you cross the Jordan River and come to Jericho, this is where I want, yeah. When you cross the Jordan River and come to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. But I gave you the victory over them, and I sent terror ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords or bows that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you had not build. I know I wasn't going to read this, but I'm already too far into it now. I did not build. The towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So notice what Joshua is saying. So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you now live? Now notice what he said. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You know, you can choose what you choose, and we're going to choose what we're going to choose, but our choice is going to be God. Huh? Amen. Come on now. We would like for everybody to serve God. We'd like for all our families. And listen, let me just say this. If you have family members out there that are children or whatever that's running amok and living ungodly and stuff, all this, you are to claim the promise that you have your children and claim that they'll come back. So a lot of people's kids that are raised in church, they had one time accepted Jesus Christ. They're just in a backslidden condition. And they just need somebody to love them back into the kingdom or back to God. You know, just like the prodigal son, man, he run away from God and run away from the father's house. But I tell you what, God was awfully excited when he came back, and he will be for them too. It says in verse 16, the people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes as we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies. He preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for He alone is God. You know what they're doing? Making a choice. Is that right? Making a choice. You made a choice to be here tonight. Was this not a choice? Then Joshua warned the people. You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy and jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, He will turn against you and destroy you, even though He has been so good to you. But the people answered Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. You are a witness to your own decision. Joshua said, you have chosen to serve the Lord. Listen, you're a witness to your own decision. I like that. We witness our own decision and what we make. Yes, they replied, we're witnesses to what we have said. All right, then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you. Turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey Him alone. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and regulations of the Lord. Joshua recorded these things in the book of God's instructions. As a reminder of their agreement, he took a huge stone and rolled it beneath the terebinth tree beside the tabernacle of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, this stone has heard everything the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness to testify against you if you go back on your word to God. Then Joshua sent all the people away to their own homelands. You know, I've read this so many times, but I think we have a plaque that says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord in our house. And, you know, Joshua made a decision a long time ago to serve God. A long time ago before he became the leader, when he was Moses' servant. He chose to serve God. And you know, we have to make that choice. And you know, you have to don't take this rightly. We have to decide every day we're going to serve God. You know, when you got born again, when you first got born again, I guarantee your mind was thinking, I'll serve God for the rest of my life. I've heard so many people tell that, say that same statement many times over the years, and they're nowhere to be found. I mean, as far as in arenas where God's at. And not saying they won't come back, because I believe Isaiah says he's married to the backslider and God's not going to divorce. Right? And so I thank God that there's a lot of backsliders and maybe some in your family and some in my family that, you know, through intercession and prayer, God can deal with their hearts. You know what causes God to deal with people's hearts? When people pray. I said, when people pray. You know, if you quit praying for your loved ones, who's going to do it? You said, well, I've been praying for it and praying for it. Nothing seems to be working. Well, honey, you ain't praying in faith then. Because if you, I guarantee you, if you could get into their head and into their heart, you'd find out God's doing something there. Am I right? I guarantee you. When people were praying for you, God was dealing with your heart. Was he not? He was dealing with your heart. So what makes them any different than you? And so you just say, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I pray that they will serve the Lord. As for my, you are to call your kids' names, they will serve the Lord. They will serve the Lord all the days of their life. They made a choice when they was younger and met Jesus, asked him into their heart, and bless God, they're going to come back in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Praise God, I believe God can bring them all back. Amen. I've been praying, you know, there's people that's supposed to be in this church. I've been praying for them to come back. Huh? You know, and then there's some people that's not supposed to be in this church, and I pray they stay out. You know, y'all look at me funny. Here's why. Because they can only, listen, people, God puts people in churches. He puts them in churches. And some people can't learn from me. Or let me change it. They won't learn from me. But there is somebody they will learn from. So I pray, when I start praying for people's labor, I pray for God to send them where they ought to be. Where they ought to be. Now there's a people for this church and for me to pastor. Amen. And but they need to be in church. People who say they have a... I don't want to be really ugly and mean tonight, but I want to be straight. People who say they can serve God without going to church, something's wrong with that scenario. Because God says there's a reason we have churches. Is there a reason we have churches? There's a reason. There's a reason why. Because we can assemble ourselves together. We can assemble ourselves together and worship God together, can't we not? Can we not? Worship God together. Isn't it great when we come together and worship God? And our church has got one of the best praise and worship teams. I'm telling you, I thank God for that. I thank God. I love the praise and worship. But I've said this the other day, the number one purpose for a church, the number one purpose for any church is to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, if it wasn't for listening to the preachers and reading the Word of God and getting insight, I don't know where I would be in my faith. I mean, it's the Word that causes faith to come to us, and I'm telling you, we need to listen to the voices of God, the voice of God through the ministers and through the fivefold ministry. And I'm telling you, we try to have some of the best preachers in the land in this church. We'll have Chip Brim. If you've never heard, how many's never heard Chip Brim? Don't miss this guy. Don't miss this guy. You are going to be blessed to have him. And, you know, Chip Brim is, he's an awesome, awesome minister. And, men, be sure you put on your schedule to be here on that Saturday, the 19th at 5:30. We're going to feed you something. He's going to give us a word. I don't know what. He just asked if he could have a locker room type thing with our men. And I said, I'd love to. So I talked to him today, and he's coming in on Friday evening and going to be ready for Saturday to do that. And so, you know, we have to choose right. Choose right. Say it with me. Choose right. Honey, because it's so easy to choose wrong. Right? Anybody ever done something once and said, I wish I hadn't have done that? What does that mean when you say that? You chose wrong. Huh? I've been so many times, I've done something and said, I wish I hadn't have done that, dadgummit. But I already did it. What? Wrong choice. Thank God, a lot of our choices aren't a matter of life and death. Aren't we glad for that? And I don't mean, some people could probably look at some of the things I wear and thought, man, he chose wrong there. But you know what I wear ain't gonna matter. It'd be a matter of life or death in my life if I wear the ugliest clothes on the earth. Amen. Praise God. I used to always try to cut up with my, I used to wear a suit and tie all the time. I wore a tie. I mean, in fact, every now and then I pull a tie out just to make sure I can still tie one. And I ain't done it in a long time. Sometimes I think, I ought to go try that out and see if I can still do it. Because it took me forever to learn to tie a tie. And I went to, remember me going to J.B. Watt. What was that? Some of y'all, I ain't even asked, some of y'all kids ain't here. Y'all don't even know what J.B. Watts was. It was downtown Groesbeck. And when I started preaching, I went in there and bought ties. And the lady would tie it around my neck. And I would untie it and slip it off and hang it up tied. So all my ties were already tied in my closet. I just had to put it around my neck and put a noose around my neck. And then they gave me a little piece of paper and showed me how to tie a tie. And I'd sit in front of the mirror and I'd tie that tie 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 till I finally got it down and I got that tie down. And so I wore them forever. I wore them forever. And so I knew Randy and them when they come in the church. My son is he likes to dress good, and he likes everything to look right and everything else. So I would get the most off-matching tie I could find, and I would stand at the door when he walked in, and I'd have that tie on. I had the right tie in my office, and he'd walk in, and he wouldn't say nothing, but he'd look at my tie, and I know what he's thinking. Dad, I cannot believe you got that tie. It don't go with your outfit at all. And then I had somebody make me a tie one time, and because I've always told everybody back then, now you can buy me a tie now and it'll just hang in the closet because I don't wear ties no more. But the thing about it is, I always told people that, because people used to buy me ties all the time, but why? I do not know. And they'd give me some of the ugliest ties. And I always said, I will wear it at least once till somebody gives me a tie. And this girl that used to be in our church, she made a tie. She bought it, and the ugly, I mean, she put feathers all over it. I mean, this was the ugliest tie you've ever seen, and I wore that one time. I put that tie on, and I made the choice to wear that tie that one time. And I guarantee people already looked at me like, you got to be crazy. You got to be kidding me. But it was given to me, bless God. And so I thank God I don't wear ties no more. I don't even wear them on weddings no more, I don't think no more. You know, people nowadays, only the people I do weddings for, they dress like me. I like them. It's good. It's really good. Can we go to one more? Let's go to one more. We're talking about choices. And 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And we're going to read it I'm going to read real quick 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him and told him what to do. And so, except at my word." And so when God spoke to Elijah to make that statement, And that there will not be rain nor dew on the land until I say it. And the reason that came upon the land is because they started serving Baal. They started worshiping other idols and other gods. And the worshipers of Baal believed that Baal controlled the rain. So they believed that he controlled the rain. And so God says, okay, I'm going to shut the heavens up. There's not going to be no rain nor dew until I say so. Now listen, that's pretty strong, especially when they're worshiping who they thought had control of the rain. And so in verse 17, it says this, and I'm going to be in the New Living Translation now. It says, "Then Ahab saw him and exclaimed," talking about Elijah, so is it really you, troublemaker of Israel? I'm in 1 Kings. 18:17. Where'd y'all think I was? Huh? But I changed. Okay. Was I there by myself? Well, you know, I assume when I get up here, we're all flowing. We're all together. Verse 17. When Ahab saw him, talking about Elijah, he exclaimed, So is it you, really you, you troublemaker of Israel? They thought Elijah was the problem. I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah and who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets of the Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood on the front of them, in the front of them, and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. You know, at this point, understand something. It hasn't rained on earth for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. No rain, no, not even dew on the ground for 3.5 years. Well, that kind of tells them something. Baal ain't in charge of the rain. So when he shows up, he says, listen to me, I want you to gather all the prophets, the people together. And he said, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? If God's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. In other words, he said, you're going to have to make a choice in this. And one person said, the historian said, the reason they didn't say a word is because they wanted God and Baal. They wanted to serve both. They wanted God. They wanted the benefits of God serving Baal. It don't happen. It don't happen. And so he said, gather them all up. He said, you're going to have to make a decision. And actually, that was the decision time for them because all the creeks were drying up. All the tanks were drying up. Everything was drying up. They were out of water. That's a good time to get people. You know, a lot of people start making a lot of decisions when things get bad. Anybody in church? I call it crisis Christianity. In a crisis, they come running to God, and as soon as everything gets all right, where are they? Hello. Man, you need to serve. If God done anything for you, you're to serve him. Come on. Preaching to the choir tonight, I understand. Then Elijah said to them, I'm the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood of the altar, but set no fire to it. When then call on the name of your God, which was Baal, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire to the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God, capital G, and all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, and there are many of you. Choose one bull and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. And about noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed. For surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming or relieving himself. That's pretty cold, isn't it? Tell him your god must be in the potty. Huh? He's getting awful brave, isn't he? Or maybe he is away on a trip or is asleep or needs to be awakened. So they shouted louder and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. Aren't we glad Jesus shed his blood? We don't have to shed ours. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They are crowded. They were all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down or torn down, repaired the altar of the Lord. Listen, there's some things that may need to be rebuilt in our lives, in our relationship with God. Do you know that? It says, torn down, he took 12 stones, one for represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull in pieces, laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. And after they had done this, he said, do it the same thing again. And when they had finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did it as he said, and the water ran all around the altar and even filled the trench. You know, I look at this, and you know what one of the most valuable commodities they had right then was water. was water. You talk about a sacrificial offering. When they poured their water out on them offerings three different times and poured that water, listen, I'm telling you, sometimes people, when they give, it's sacrificial, but I tell you what, it don't go unnoticed by God. And so they gave and they poured that water out, It ran around, filled the trench. And verse 36 says, at the usual time for the offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven, burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, The Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to Kishon Valley and killed them there. You know, we have to choose right. Choose right. God is God. Am I right? God is God. Jesus is Lord. And I'm telling you, He's going to be the most important person, because Jesus is a person, right? He's going to be the most important person in our lives. And to please Him is the most honorable, most blessing thing we can do, is to please God. And so, you know, we have to make right choices every day of our lives. And there's choices we make concerning jobs. There's choices we make concerning whatever. And we have to pray for God to show us what choice to make. You know, there's people in this church that would, some of them not here right now tonight, but was telling me there's some things that they're believing for, and just gonna step out in some new adventures and such as that. All I told them was, when they told me that, they said, he's kind of nervous up this bit. I said, just pray and obey. Listen to God. Listen to God and always be led by peace. Always be led by peace. I believe peace is our guiding factor in our lives. And so choose right. Whatever choices you have to make, ask God what I should do. What I should do. Concerning your spiritual life, concerning any other areas of your life, just say, God, I want to make the right choices, and I want to choose right. I want 2019 to be my best year, and I want to choose right and make the right choices. We won't make all the right choices all year long, but thank God we're at Endeavor to make all the right choices. Amen. Praise God. If you make the wrong choices, all you got to do is say, I repent. I'm sorry. I blew it. I messed up. God will forgive you, get you back on the right track and go on with it. Amen. And if you read the New Testament, Jesus always, every time He went somewhere, He gave people a choice. He didn't say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. He says, I'm going to give you a choice. If you'll do this, here's what I will do. Amen. So God always gives us choices. Make the right choices and God will bless you. Choose life. Isn't that what He said? Choose life, not disaster. Praise God. Everybody say, I have life, and I refuse disaster. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I know we're going to have the best year ever, and I believe that you're going to make right choices and right decisions on whatever the situation, whatever you may face in your life, that you're going to do what's right, because this is going to be your best year ever.